You know, I've had the sense this whole week that God really wants to do something special this morning.
Amen.
He wants to pour out His Spirit upon His people. He wants to touch people's lives. And if you're hungry and want that, He'll come.
Amen.
Because He wants to. He's more willing than we are. And so I ask you this morning, if you're hungry for God, ask Him to come. Ask Him to come. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come to You, realizing, Lord, that it's not by works of might, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by Your Spirit, Lord, that we are enabled to do anything. Father, I pray this morning that You would quicken Your word, that You would touch every heart. I pray for every young person. I pray for every old person. I pray for everyone in between. God, that You will minister to each one in the name of Jesus according to what they need. Father, I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your mercy. And Lord, we're trusting in You this morning. And I give You praise and thanks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I was thinking about a message this morning. Basically done in song. Every song really went along with what I'm going to be speaking about this morning. The title of my message this morning is Understanding the Times and Seasons. Understanding the Times and Seasons. And you know, there are some things that are really important for us to understand in this day and age that we live in. I'm going to cover a little bit of stuff here. So, God created man in His image and in His likeness, and He had a plan in place for us before He even created the world. He had a plan all set up. He knew you before you came on the scene because He created you. You were on His mind. Hallelujah. And He is going to bring that plan to fruition no matter what the devil or anyone else can do. He's the sovereign creator, and there is no power in heaven or earth that can prevent His plan from taking place. They can do whatever they want out there. The devil can kick up his heels and throw all of his people against God's plan, not going to stop God. We were created to have fellowship with our Creator. That's why we were created. We weren't created just to be created. He didn't just put us out here on this earth to have fun, enjoy life, and although He lets us do that. He lets us do that. But we were created to have fellowship with our Creator. The angels are not like us. In all reality, we are a step above the angel. Oh, they have more power than us, yes. But we have a close relationship to God that He created us to have that fellowship and that relationship with Him. Hallelujah. And we were created to have that fellowship and to dwell with Him for eternity. Once you were created, this goes on forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And His ways are above our ways. But we don't always understand why or how come God's doing this, this. So I think you should do it this way. Or I think you should do it that way. His ways are always above our ways, and they're always better than our ways. And He always has our best interests at hand. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same loving God that reached out and touched our hearts and touched our lives. He doesn't change. He's not somewhere down the road, He's going to, get out of here. I don't care for you anymore. No, God always loves you. Always loves you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we were never forced to love Him. God could have created a bunch of robots, and what would that do? Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. What good would that do? What good would that do? He can't have any fellowship with a bunch of robots. We were never forced to love and to serve Him. He created us with the power of choice. He created us with a free will. Hallelujah. So we're the ones that choose to love and serve Him. We don't have to if we don't want to. If we want to go our own way, you can choose the road that goes up, or you choose the road that goes down. It's your choice. But I want you to know something. He's going to do everything in His power to change your mind. Amen. If you're going the wrong direction. God will do everything in His power to enable us to live for Him without violating His will. He'll never violate our will. He always gives us the ability to choose. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." I won't go to the rest of the verse. Not pertinent to what we're looking at this morning. But the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. We're talking about the Spirit of God running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong and to show Himself mighty. If you need help, He's right there for you. Hallelujah. And by the same token, when you read the book of Job, you realize that when Satan came up before God and he had to give an account before God, God asked him, "Where are you? Where, what were you been doing?" He said, "Well, I've been going to and fro in the earth and back and forth in it." Well, what was he doing? He was out trying to destroy God's works. He was out trying to tear people down. He was trying to accuse people. He was trying to do that which is evil. So, in all reality, you see the Spirit of God that's moving upon the earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those who are loyal to God. And then you have the devil out there. He's going to and fro throughout the earth to see if he can tear you down. And we're in the middle. And I remember when I was a younger lad, I can remember, "God, help me to choose. Help me to choose." And you know what God said to me? He said, "No, you choose, and when you choose, I'll back you up. I'll be right there to help you. But you have to choose. I don't choose for you. You have to choose." And so I talked to some of the young people today. You have to choose. What are you going to do? Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit, will be right there. If we have a problem, if we have a difficulty, if we're trying to overcome some temptation, if we're trying to do something that we can't do in our own strength, the Holy Spirit's right there to help us and to empower us and to give us the ability to do what God's called us to do. And then I like Philippians 1:6. "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." I remember his old times, an old evangelist, he talked about the Holy Spirit being the hound dog of God. The hound dog. What is a hound dog? Well, he gets right on your case. And he's not going to turn loose. He's not going to turn loose. And I'll tell you something. Probably all of us are here because somebody prayed for us. Whether it was a mom or dad or pastor or somebody prayed for us. Or some kind of sovereign deal happened where God just decided to get your attention. And so we're all here. And this hound dog of heaven, the Holy Spirit, He's got a hold of us. And you think you're going to run away from God? I remember when I was a teenager, I was trying to do my own thing. Oh, this looks good. I want to go do this. And I get over there and the door slammed shut. There was no way I could do what I was wanting to do. And I think I even prayed at one time, Lord, leave me alone so I can go and have fun. Leave me alone. Well, I'm glad God didn't answer that prayer. And I'll tell you something. I don't care what you do. You might go off the deep end. God is going to be right there hanging on to you. That hound dog of heaven isn't going to turn loose of you. He is going to hound you till your last breath, trying to get you to change your mind to seek him. And even the most wicked person in the world can turn to the Lord, and God will forgive him if he asks for forgiveness and repents. God will forgive him and bring him into the kingdom. Hallelujah. God is that kind of a God. He's that kind of a God. So if you think you're going to run away from God, all you're going to do is mess your life up. You're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to have fun out there. God will keep you from that kind of fun. Hallelujah. I am so glad. You know, we sing some songs sometimes. It talks about, I don't know what I would have become if it wasn't for the blood that was shed for me. I don't know where I'd be today if it wasn't for that. If it wasn't for that, I'd probably already be in hell. I would probably already be in hell. But I thank God for the grace of God that reached out and touched my life. Hallelujah. And he didn't let go of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he who has done a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When we receive him as Savior and Lord, we become a part of his body, the church. And he is the head over everything. He is the head over everything that has to do with his body. And our adversary, the devil, is doing everything in his power to destroy God's plans for the church and destroy mankind. The devil doesn't like you. The devil doesn't love you. The devil hates you. He may put on a show out there, but it's nothing but bad news if you follow his direction. So we're living in the last days of time. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, I believe that God is going to clean some houses around, especially in our political arena. I believe God's going to clean house there. And you wonder, well, why hasn't he done it so far? Because of his grace, because of his love. The devil, he created the hell for the devil and his angels. And he had to enlarge it because mankind insisted on going there. And you can go through the whole Old Testament and you can find where God promised so many things to his people. And as soon as they just turn around and start following after some other god that was nothing, that was wood or stone or piece of junk. It can't speak, it can't hear, it can't see. And you're going to put your trust in that? No, our trust is in the holy God, hallelujah, who loves us and who surrounds us. And we can't get away from him, hallelujah. And he's not slack, but he's long-suffering to us, toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that's where he's at. Hallelujah. And thank God for it. Thank God for his grace. So we're in a battle. But I believe that God is about to reveal himself in a way far beyond what he's done in the past. Pull out all the stops and do a mighty work in the earth to save multitudes. And he's called us to battle against evil. And this is the time for the church to rise up by the power of the Spirit and be his witnesses in all the earth. He's coming back for a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle. And we are to be salt and light to those around about us. So it's extremely important that we understand what God is doing so that we can be used by Him in a mighty way in winning souls to the kingdom. And now we can understand the warning He gave us in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, it's not just doing things for the Lord. It might be good deeds and everything. We just think we're out there. We're just going to do the stuff, you know. But we're not doing what He is asking us to do. We're not doing what He is directing us to do. He's the head of the church. He's the general of the army. And if we're out doing our own thing, all we're doing is messing up. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me scatters. So it's very important. It's not just prophesying about or casting out demons or doing signs and wonders. It's about doing what God wants us to do. What is God doing right now? I remember one time I was on the ferry going up to see my kids up in Alaska. And so my wife and I were sitting in the, we went up into a nice big area where you could see all the way around you and everything. And we were reading our Bibles. And somebody started talking to us. And I didn't realize it till later that this guy was actually, I believe he was a Baptist minister. And so we were talking quite a bit and everything. And he asked the question. He said, how do you know what to preach? How do you know what to preach? And I have actually preached a message on that. How do you know what to preach? And so I told him, I said, well, I look at it this way. If Jesus were to be here right now, what would He want to say to the people? That's what I want to preach. So I need to find out what, Lord, what are you saying to the people? What are you wanting to communicate to your people? That's what I want to preach. And so it's important that we understand the times and the season. We need to know that kind of stuff in order to know what to do. We can't do things in our own powers, but we need to be workers together with Him. Workers together with Him. We can't do things in our own power, for it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. 1 Chronicles 12:32 said, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. It's like their whole bunch of them were all obedient to the parents or whatever. And they had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. I believe all of us should realize that we're in the last days right now. I believe there's coming a move of God across our globe that would absolutely blow our minds. And I don't know about you, I want to be a part of that. Hallelujah. And the only way we're going to be a part of that is if we will go ahead and understand what God is doing. And we made to make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are you doing? How do I fit into this situation? How do I relate, Lord, to what you're doing right now? These sons of Issachar had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And we need to have understanding of the times to know what we as the church, what we as Shelton, what we as Washington, what we as a nation need to be doing. Hallelujah. Luke 19:44. This is talking about Jerusalem. And level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon the other, because you did not know the time of your visitation. You didn't know the time of your visitation. They didn't recognize the time frame that their Messiah was coming back in. And they didn't recognize their Messiah. He came as a little baby. Oh no, we can't have that. He should be born in a palace or something. He didn't fit their idea or their way of thinking. He just didn't fit at all their idea of what he needed to be. He needed to be raised an army to go up against Rome here. We'll take the world. Hallelujah. And you set up your kingdom. That's why he came. You see, this is why God's ways are higher than our ways. We don't understand his ways. They had 400 years there without any kind of prophetic word or anything to the church. Nothing to the Jews. And he did not fit their idea or their way of thinking, so they rejected him and they crucified him on a cross. And the interesting thing was, in doing that, they fulfilled God's plan for Jesus to pay for the sins of the whole world and the whole earth. Hallelujah. You think about, like I said, God's ways are higher than our ways. We don't understand God's doing things, but we don't understand why is he doing it this way? How come? If I was God, I would do it that way, you know? How come he's doing it? His ways are higher than our ways. Hallelujah. He knows what he's doing. And he's going to accomplish his work no matter what. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants the prophets. Oh, we can have some direction here. We can have some help. We can have some understanding on times and things that are going on. So the Lord doesn't do anything unless he reveals a secret to his servants, the prophets. And you know, we've had prophetic utterances across our nation. God's timetable and plans for us are revealed through the prophets. And he gives us a heads up. Even back in Israel's days, Jacob called his sons together to reveal to them what was coming for them in the last days. Genesis 49:1. Jacob's last words to his sons. And Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." And you know what? It was prophetic. It came to pass. The sons, it's like he knew his sons. He knew them. And he knew what was going to happen. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he declared what was going to happen to his sons. Jeremiah 23:22. It said, "But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from their evil of their doings." Some of their leaders didn't follow God's counsel. And because of that, they went their own way and did their own thing and served idols and did things that were contrary to the Word of God. And because if they had stood, though, in His counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then He would have turned them from their evil way. See, there are repercussions if we're not obedient to the Lord. If we're not telling people what they need to hear, there's repercussions for them. And these people turned to the evil of their doings because they didn't have a warning, because they didn't pay any attention to the warning, or they just didn't give them the warning. And there were false prophets out there. Yes. There were false prophets out there. Jesus said in John 15:15, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Hallelujah. Yeah, I'd like to hear that kind of stuff. I like it. What are you doing, Father? You know, and all the things that He's hearing from the Father, He's made known to us. Hallelujah. So God has given us the following to prepare us for our task. Ephesians 4:11-13. And we could go many more verses than this, but I'm just going to give this first part. "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers." What for? "For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry." You mean we're all called into ministry? Uh-huh. We're all called into ministry? Yes. Hallelujah. We're all called into ministry. "To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up and encouraging of everybody in the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." To be just like Him. That's what the goal is, to be just like Him. He went back to heaven, but His ministry down here didn't quit. We're supposed to be filling that ministry. In the book of Acts, it talks about people were first called Christians. What was Christians? Little Christs. They're like Him. Like Christ. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be like Christ. Remember, it is Christ Himself who gave us these people for the church. And so we have prophets who are giving us wisdom concerning things going on in our nation. And I also realize there are false prophets out there. So who do you believe? Well, I look at their track record. It's one of the things I look at. I look at their track record. Back through the years, the things that they prophesied. Has it come to pass? That's one of the things I look at. Are they consistent over a period of time? Or have they changed their message? They speak something today, and then tomorrow they'll change and go another direction. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. If you want to know where that comes from, back in the old days, they didn't have much water. People bathed once a year. So they would have a tub. The father would get in there and have his bath first. He's the one that was the dirtiest and out there in the fields working and everything else. But then I think it was maybe the wife. And then the kids, all the way down from the oldest to the youngest. And the baby was the last one. By that time, of course, the water was terribly dirty. So it says, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. So don't do that. Don't do that. They had false prophets in the Old Testament, too. A whole lot of them. Test the prophecy. in 1 Thessalonians 5, 20 and 21, it says, don't despise prophecies. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which is good. Joel 2, 28 to 32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So we're coming into the last days, folks. And I believe we're going to see a mighty, mighty move. It says your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. And he's going to pour out his spirit in those days. And he's going to show wonders in the signs and the earth. All kinds of things. And there's going to be, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. God is looking for people. He knows what hell is like. He created it. And he doesn't want us to go there. He'll do everything he can to keep us from going there. And if we're insistent, it's our choice. Our choice. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Shelton, in Mason County, in the United States, and to the end of the earth. Okay? And God has given this church everything we have need of in this final battle. He has given us gifts of the Spirit to accomplish His work. You know, that's one thing the devil doesn't want us to have, the gifts of the Spirit. I told somebody a while back that I felt, and I wasn't making them feel bad or anything, but I said, like, I believe you're like an eyeball. Because they could see down into a person. God gave them understanding of what was going on down inside of a person. And been used a whole lot like that. You see, the gifts of the Spirit will reveal what the devil's doing. If there's a problem going on in your life, the gifts of the Spirit can point that out. It can tell you what kind of a spirit is there and how to deal with that spirit and how to take care of that, the things that you need to do. So it's important, the gifts of the Spirit. And we need to discover the gifts that God has given us and then use them in the place where he puts us. Oh, you mean that God's supposed to have a place for us to go to church? Huh? Yeah. Uh-huh. I remember several years ago now, we came to the understanding from the Lord that we were supposed to look for a church. It was going to give an opportunity to be a blessing to people and have the church be a blessing to us. And the Lord directed us. We came to this church here. And as soon as we walked in the doors of this building, we knew, not guess, not maybe, no, we knew this was where we belonged. So I asked three questions. Do you know what gifts you have? You have gifts. Everyone has got some kind of gift. Do you know what gifts you have? Number two, are you using them for the glory of God? And number three, are you using them in the place where God has placed you? Three questions. Some people really don't know what their gifting is. One of the reasons Christ himself has given certain men or women gift ministries to the church is to help you to grow to be like Christ and to prepare you for work of ministry. Now, sometimes there'll be an excuse that you might use for following your gifts, for using your gifts. I'm too young. You know, down through history, God has used young people in a mighty way. There's been mighty revivals with the youth. And God can do mighty things for the youth. Seek the Lord and see what He will do. Seek the Lord and see what He'll do. Another excuse might be, well, I don't know anything. I don't know much scripture or anything. That's all right. Get in the Word. And the Holy Spirit will teach you and the body of Christ will help you and back you up. Get in the Word. Or I'm retired. There is no retirement with the Lord. There is no retirement with the Lord. He has a glorious plan for you. And He will give you the strength to do what He's called you to do. He will also use your maturity and wisdom to be a blessing to the body. He'll use your wisdom and maturity to be a blessing to the body. And if you need a little help, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So God will give us the ability. He will give us the help. Oh, I know some people. I knew a couple. Well, a pastor that we had in Ketchikan for a while eventually became the district superintendent of the state of Alaska. And then I knew an evangelist, Linfield Crowder, who was a great evangelist. They were both active people. I mean, they went all over the world. They did all kinds of things. They were, the pastor, he was a hunter. He was a fisherman. He was active, always active. And when they came to the last days of their life, it's like there was another chapter that they went through. And all of a sudden, they couldn't do all the things that they used to do. It was a tough time. You know, it was not easy for them. And just another chapter. Was the Lord angry with them now because they couldn't do the things that they could before? No. Just, we're all going to get old eventually. Someday I'm going to get old. We're all going to get old eventually. But while we're still here, let's use our ability, our talents that God has given us, the knowledge that God has given us, let's use it for His glory. You know, I'm a little slow in my mind of thinking and everything. I think the reason is that I've accumulated so much knowledge it takes a while for the computer to get there. You know? We're not as fast as what we used to be. But God can use every single one of us, and He wants to use every one of us. And He'll give us the strength and the ability, and He'll have just the right place for us. Just the right place for us. The body is made up of many parts. And each part has its function and importance. If we're missing a part or something is wrong with it, the whole body is affected. And I'll give you a piece of advice. Don't try to copy someone else. Don't try to copy someone else. Oh, this person has this kind of ministry. Over. I'm going to go try to do that. No. You are yourself. They are them. I can't be a Billy Graham. I can't be a great singer. We all have our own unique talents and abilities. My wife thought that she didn't have any ability. She didn't have any talent. Why? Because she couldn't do some of the things that those around her could do. But she has found out since that God has used her in a mighty way. And she has a talent and ability, I mean, that will blow your mind away. She's not the same person I married. I don't know what happened to that other person. But she has changed. God has glorified her. She's doing it so tremendous. I am just blessed. I'm honored to be her husband. Hallelujah. So, some people get upset when something happens to them. And they're quick to pull up stakes and move to another place. That's another problem we have sometimes. Let me tell you something. If somebody preaches, and somebody don't step all over me, something in that preaching, well, then I don't know that they've really done a good job of preaching. If God's gonna get on my case because of somebody preaching, it's like I haven't heard from the Lord. Some people get upset with things, or they didn't like what happened in the church. And so they'll pick up and they'll run to another church. Well, let me tell you a little secret. The same issue, the problem that you're having here, it'll be different people, different faces, whatever. But the same problem that was here, you'll meet over there. God will see to it. You will face that problem again. And if you pick up there and run over someone else, it'll be waiting for you over there. Until you deal with the issue, until you make it right with the Lord yourself. So it's critical that we understand the day and the age we're living in. We need to be on the same page as God if we're going to be effective in this world. We need to be doing what Jesus is doing. And so the best way to do that is to be in close contact with Him. Be workers together with Him. My wife and I have kind of struggled financially in a lot of ways. And for a little period of time, and who'd ever thought it, we ended up painting probably about 6 or 7 houses, the outside. We painted. And it gave us the money that carried us on through. Well, that's done with now. No more. I'm not into that anymore. Well, then, you know, we got involved in a food bank. And so Laura started going around with the head person in the food bank. And, boy, I'm thinking, man alive, this guy has the potential to take up a lot of time and everything. I really didn't want to go there. Really didn't want to go there. But it just worked out. That's where we're at. This person died, and Laura ended up having to take over. So she's now the executive director of this food bank. And she gets a salary for it. There again, just exactly what we needed for this time frame that we're living in. God has provided. Hallelujah. So, you know, who knows how God's going to work? And sometimes it just happens. And you don't even know how it happened. You don't even know how it happened. All of a sudden, here I am. Wow, Lord. This is great. Hallelujah. So now we have a ministry there. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11, says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." You're not in darkness. You don't have to have this day overtake you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, even as you are doing. And I could give a hint here. We're all learning. We're all moving, trying to move into God. Okay, God, how do we do this? You called me to do this. How do I do it? And are we perfect on doing that? No, we can make mistakes. But how do I know when I'm doing something the right way? Am I doing this right or am I doing this wrong? This is where you come into place. If God is using somebody and it was a blessing to you, go up and tell them. Amen. Go up and tell them. It will encourage them and help them to realize, hey, I'm on track. I'm on track. I remember years ago in Ketchikan, I had gotten saved down here in Seattle, and I moved up to Ketchikan to work on a hospital to put the drywall in and stuff. And so we had done that. And I was going to Assemblies of God church there, and they had a pastor that was just exactly the guy I needed. And he came alongside of me, and he helped me. And I remember he went on vacation one time and had an evangelist or a pastor or something. Him and his wife came and took the church for a couple of weeks while he was on vacation. And I remember it was on a midweek service. And it's like the Lord was giving me a prophecy. And so This is strange to me. So I started out, and then I was like Peter. He started walking on the water, and all of a sudden the waves out there, and I lost it all. And that guy was so cool. He said, "It's all right, brother. All right. Just hold fast there. People, you know, God is using this guy. Said, I want you to just keep praying." And then he said, encouraged me to step out again. So I did. I stepped out again. I got a little further, and then I worried again. Lost it. For the third time then, it's okay, brother. All right. Step out. Go ahead. We're with you. You know. And so then the Lord enabled me to do it without fear. And it was nice having somebody like that. You know, if it wouldn't have been for him, I don't know if I would ever been able to do something like that. But when somebody blesses you or somebody uses a gift of the Spirit on you and everything, and it blesses you, tell them. Tell them. It'd be an encouragement to them and help them to realize that they are on track. You know? So encourage one another. Build up one another. Edify one another. Just as you are also doing. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, we desire to know what you're doing in this season. And we want to have your blessings on our lives. We want to be workers together with you. We don't want to go out there and do our own thing. And Lord, we need your Holy Spirit within our lives to empower us, to give us wisdom, to give us direction, so we may know what we're supposed to do. God, I pray for your people this morning. I pray for the young people. I pray for the older people. I pray for the people all in between. God, that you will move on all of our hearts and help us, Lord, to recognize that you are God. You have a plan and a purpose for our lives. You are not turning us loose. You are going to be with us to the end of the age. Hallelujah. And your ways are higher than our ways. Help us to recognize that, Lord. And help us to be willing to follow you and to believe you and trust you no matter what we see or think. Lord, our confidence and our hope and our trust is in you. And I pray you'd bless your people today. Bless them, Lord. Touch their hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. Make the word come alive in their hearts, Lord. And accomplish that which you purpose. You sent your word out, Lord, and your word will not return void. So, Lord, we're trusting that to be the case. We praise you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you don't give up on us. Hallelujah. And you are going to keep us. You are going to present us faultless before the Father. Hallelujah, because that's what your promise is. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.